This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Nine minutes gone past 8 o'clock. Good morning. It is Monday, 22nd November, 2021. How are you? I guess you're on your way to work. Yes, what's the traffic looking like? Or perhaps you're one of those who woke up on Sunday and you didn't know that you were going to lose anything. But at the end of yesterday, you had lost property. We commiserate with you. Those who were, affected by the fire. One at Rumokoro Axis, very close to the commercial bank on this side, and the other around D-Line. My colleague, Emeka Otuka, was at both locations, and he joins me this morning to talk about the fire incident. And afterwards, we will have the Federal Fire Service official join me in the studio. My name is Eno Ogbevire. Good morning. Good morning, Emeka. How are you?
Good morning, Eno. Good morning, Reverse People.
Yeah, so you... Why are you sound like a government official? All right, so you were at D-Line. What did you find?
Okay, I think that incident, I heard about that incident at about 10 p.m. on Saturday night. So I couldn't go out of my house to see exactly what was going on there. But on Sunday morning when I later went to the place, I discovered that there is this moribund company close to that food market, opposite the food market. Yeah. So it's like that company, they were used, that company serves as maybe one of these sites where they store gas and all of that, but it's no longer functional. So it's like people now took advantage of that equipment there, and we're storing all these illegally refined petroleum products in those their tanks. So eventually, I believe that maybe somebody might have gone there with flammable substance and all of that, and the place caught fire, destroying properties. If not only properties that were in that compound, it extended outside the compound. So there's a church close to it. I think everything in that church was burnt, and some persons who also lived around that area, the fire also affected their own
So did anybody speak to you about, you know, the response of fire service? Did they call any fire service numbers?
I think fire service went there. I think they were able to put out the fire that night.
That was on Saturday night?
That was on Saturday night.
Okay.
So because even that morning, the Federal Fire Service, they were still there on Sunday morning, yes.
Okay.
So the response this time, I think there was a kind of swift response on the part of the fire service. Maybe because it was in that axis of Port Harcourt.
Okay. So on Sunday in the afternoon, we started getting calls that there was a fire. And that's the thing. When the calls start coming, they're not clear. Some people say it was at the bank. Some say it was at the restaurant very close to... you know, the bank, but it was on this side of Rumokoro. You have to come past the flyover, and you're now on this side of East West Road. That's on the Upolu side. That's where the bank is. So when we got the report, we, of course, were trying to find out exactly what was going on. What did you find?
Okay, if anybody maybe give a description of maybe the bank as at the time the fire started, the person may not be completely wrong because of the flames from that fire. You know, when that fire started, I saw it as well on social media. I thought it was even the bank, not until I got to the scene. And I discovered that it's on a building inside the compound. In front of the compound, it looks like where they are doing business, but inside they are refining or they are storing illegally refined petroleum products. We have over 100 tanks. Those type that they use in that all these fish farmers use to put in their fish and all of that. So they have over 100. There is also an underground tank. That one is even more than a filling station. The ones you have in the filling station. Well,
so the underground tank looks like...
The type they use in all these, let's say, all these refineries. Very massive. It's not like... It doesn't have the shape of the one. More than 40 feet. More than 40 feet.
Okay, so I don't know much about these things. Would you say that perhaps that place was used as a fuel station at some point, or was it... something that you think that perhaps they deliberately set it up for this purpose?
They deliberately set it up for the purpose, because that place doesn't look like, if you pass that place, you even think that there's anything. It has a gate, it has other uncompleted building at the front where people sell Indomie. Provisions. They sell provisions in front.
So they're stored
at
in
the
front.
Point, they even used that place. There was a fast food. The fast food was there before. I think that fast food has closed. So you don't even... That place doesn't look like a filling station. Until you go inside, then you see that these people, they have tanks. And I also think that those staying around that area, I think they are aware that something like that, maybe perhaps they may not be sure of what...
No, is it... hold on. So I don't know how it goes, but every now and then, if they keep pouring... I don't know how they pour it out, how they serve their customers, but I would think that every now and then you would perceive some sort of like diesel smell, spilled, or you would see someone coming out with jerry cans. Or is it what it has become, Emeka, that most people patronize these people, so everybody's just looking the other way? Is a product, is a depot. Yeah, so you go there, get your supply, you fill your generator, and everyone is okay.
I think there is this, I don't care, let me put it that way, attitude by some Nigerians, because I don't think there is a way that kind of thing cannot be happening in that place without those living around that area.
People live around there?
Yes, people live around there. There's also an event center. Even those that are in the bank, if you look through, yes, you also see that.
Okay, so so on a regular day, you would have seen the tanks.
You see the tanks,
but
yes.
You can't tell if it's fish or
yes, you won't know what is inside. You won't know what is
except
inside.
Maybe you're looking
except
to see
maybe
something.
You are looking to see something, or you're inquisitive to know what is happening there. Because the tanks are just positioned. Over 100 tanks, if you go there, over 100 tanks just in the compound. And there is this other one, that their underground tank is also there. They build a block fence around that underground tank.
Okay, so as it was a Sunday, do you think that perhaps reduced the possibility of, you know, something more, you know, damning happening?
Yes, because you know, as at that time that thing happened, it was during church hours, so many persons are in church, and that place wasn't busy as at that time. So when that thing exploded, so people were like, ah, what happened? So those that went there saw the fire and couldn't go close to say, okay, let me help to put out this fire, until the fire service.
The smoke
came.
Was billowing. Was very black.
It was
smoke.
Something else.
So if you were a Monday or a weekday, the bank is working, cars are parked, the shops in front of that place, everyone is there. So the first thing would be pandemonium.
Pandemonium. People will take advantage of that to loot people's shops and all of that. Even the bank will not be free, because some persons will use that advantage because it's very close to the bank to commit a crime. So I think what saved the situation yesterday was because it was on a Sunday.
Oh,
it happened
on
a Sunday.
You also saw the Obiakpa local government chairman, George Arioli, there.
Yes, I saw him.
What did
there.
He say?
Yes, he said that he does not have the power to carry out any action against the owner of that building. But he said he believes that there is no way that kind of activities will be going on in that place, that the owner won't be aware. That he will be suggesting or calling on the River State, recommending on the River State government to confiscate that environment.
It's possible that the owner doesn't even live here, doesn't know what's going on. You rent your place to someone and they're doing business. I'm not sure they would write that we're going to be doing illegal business, or we're going to be storing illegally produced petroleum products.
Yes, while I was there yesterday, I overheard somebody saying that they rented that place for a park recently for 6 million naira. Although the person refused to speak on camera, said they rented that place for 6 million naira. But when they discovered that they were doing that kind of thing there, they pulled out. So I don't think that the owner
is aware.
Is not aware.
But at least
he's
from
aware.
What that person said, yes. If we can admit that, is that some people were aware that some illegal activity was going on. What did they do about it? And the matter of poor fire, Mek, and we've talked about it in the newsroom many times. What are your thoughts?
I think the government should come out at this point in time to stop these activities.
Do you think it's, you know, honestly, do you think it's possible for the government to stop it?
There is nothing impossible as far as I'm concerned. Even if you don't stop it finally, or maybe they don't stop everybody doing it, but they can reduce what they are doing. Because if you go to some of these places, honestly, you can't breathe in good air. So I think what the government, like the last time Emo Haleku government chairman, you know, one there was an incident at Albak. I think that was community Rumekpe, where they said over 25 persons lost their life and all of that.
There was another incident too around the local government.
Ikore local government, that one too. And the funny thing is that those that are involved in this thing are not the victims. Most times they are not the victims. It's innocent persons that maybe lost their property and maybe are affected by these their activities. Like that of Omrelu. People were in their house. They did store petroleum products in their building. But when that thing happened,
it caught
their house caught fire, and they lost almost a building of their houses, more than 25 rooms.
Wow.
So you discover that sometimes when these things happen, it's not really those that are into that illegal activities that have been affected.
But you know, the government that talked about modular refineries, I think it was Amina Mohammed, the environment minister, I think sometime when she came and she said, oh, they're going to talk to the state government. Those that want to register, they can come. Because it looks like that's the solution, or the immediate solution to this. So we know you're cooking. You've been cooking for years. You've upgraded in many ways. Can we now have modular refineries set up so that, you know, we can, you know, draw the line between modular refineries and that what you're doing that is illegal? But that has not happened till now.
Yes, I think when they made that statement, after some months, I went to Commissioner for Energy and Natural Resources, Peter Mede. He said they are still collating names of those who wants to maybe get license for the modular refinery. But at the end of the day, I asked him how far they've gone with the collation. He said they are still on it, but the challenge they had is that some persons are not coming for, people are not coming for the registration. But when we tried to maybe, when I tried talking to some of those who are involved in they are complaining of the fund, the money involved in setting up this artisanal refinery. Cost implication, that is what they are complaining. So they think that this one is faster. It doesn't have any regulation. The only people you set to, the only people that you supposedly set to are the security operatives. So I think that if the River State government, the local governments where these activities are going on, if they come out to say, no, we don't want this again. Because some of the local government chairmen that I've interacted with, they said they've tried, they've set up a task force, they've done this, but it seems not to address the situation. So I think it is time for the River State government to come out headlong to see how this can be tackled. Because if you watch, in a couple of months, if you look at the cases, we've lost over more than 200 persons have lost their lives as a result of this. It's just that some of these cases are unreported because of the place where it happens. Just like the one of Rumekpe. So that people didn't come out to say.
Yeah, because also when they come out, it affects the area. So there'll now be like some sort of, you know, light beamed on them because, oh, this is happening in your area. But then again, this matter of security people, agencies that are being settled. I know that the denial will come from the top to the bottom, but we've seen it happen. We've spoken to these people that run these refineries, and they tell us that there is an association, there's a network, and they settle all the ogas every week.
Okay. You remember what happened in the Che recently, where they accused one police officer serving in that area of owning an illegal oil refinery depot in that community. And that's why his name was mentioned, or why they came out to say, we know this person doing this in our community, because of the incident where there was a fire outbreak and he destroyed property. And I think somebody even lost his life in that incident. But then, since then, they accused that policeman of doing that kind of thing in that community. I expected the River State Police Command to issue a statement or say, we are investigating this matter.
It's been a while. And then again, what about the local government chairman? Can they push for prosecution? So if the law enforcement agencies are involved and the River State government says, we want to put an end to this, how would it go? And we're talking millions of naira per day. That market is huge. There's, in fact, an unending value chain. So they're the women selling the nylons. They're the guy. I mean, everyone seems to be benefiting a lot. They're the cooks. They're the workers. They're those selling products that they use to prevent fires, you know. So there is a value chain. And that is, it's illegal, but it's employment.
See, when you say it's illegal, it's employment. We cannot admit illegality to be right because...
No, I didn't say it was right, but that's what it is. It is illegal, but every morning they are there. Every day they are there working.
And probably it's also giving people money. It's also engaging people. But it's not right. So I think that everybody should come out to say we don't want this thing again in our community. Let's not look at what we are benefiting for now. Let's also look at the environmental and health implication of what these people are doing. Let's just look at it, it's giving us money, Some of them don't even know the effects on their health.
Okay, so that's on one side. But you cannot say stop. Then what happens to them? Because that's a critical thing. You're saying don't go to work, because that's what it is. They're going to work, even though it's illegal. Don't go to work there again. We're going to shut it down. Then in the shutting it down, what do they need to put into consideration? Because you're shutting it down, and the products that are already there, what happens to them? That's one. Then those in the value chain, what happens to them? Should they all be arrested maybe and rehabilitated and then put where? We have a syringe factory that's been closed for over 4 years now that has the capacity to produce about a billion injections every year. And last month on the news, a Kenyan firm is going to get some billions in grants from Bill Gates Foundation to produce syringes. So this one is just here. It's been here for 4 years, shut down. And the value chain here too is enormous, from the drivers to those, you know, there are a lot of things that people could be doing if this were open. So Emeka.
Okay, I think there should be deliberate policy by the state, local government, and the federal government on industrialization to open up industries. If, for example, in those areas where they are doing this, we have some factories, maybe we have a poultry farm, we have other factories maybe producing other things. You see that so many persons who are into these activities will prefer going to those places where they think that they have legitimate business, where they also know that they are safe to engage themselves rather
preference.
Than...
Preference now comes in. That's the word Emeka used. But on one side, mm-hmm. I prefer to do this job, but at what cost? And I ask all the time, how do you take an animal who's been used to drinking blood and then say you want to domesticate them? These people see a lot of money in a very short time. They may not know the health hazards to themselves, their babies, their families, their neighbors, and everyone else, but this is what they have in hand now. So what happens? We'll keep talking. We're Nigerian for Port Harcourt. The Federal Fire Service officials should join me. If it doesn't, we'll continue conversations and lines will be open. My name is Eno Ogbeviri. This is Nigerian for Port Harcourt, where we have the region's biggest conversation. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news, and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info. This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Thank you for staying tuned. DCF, right? Yeah, DCF Abdullahi Aldo Alpha has joined me in the studio. Good morning, sir. Thank you for your time.
Good morning. Thank you.
He's a public servant. Mm. You are with the Federal Fire Service, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I know that some months ago, my colleague met, either you or one of your colleagues, at somewhere off Azikiwe Road. There was a fire incident.
Okay.
You were the one?
Off Azikiwe.
Yeah, there's a place where we have these tankers and there was a fire.
Yeah, I was one.
So tell us your experience at that incident.
Thank you for inviting me to this radio station. Well, that fire was one of the earliest fire we fought after commissioning of appliance. Because before I came, there was no appliance in this command. During my administration, we were able to get a fire appliance. So that fire was one of the earliest fire we fought. So that fire, I personally was at the scene of the fire. And our men and the state fire people, did their best to see that the fire is brought under control.
Okay, so what was the cause of that fire? Were you able to ascertain?
Yes, after the fire, I was able to send my investigating officers to go and make some inquiries. Inquiries to know the cause of the fire. And from the what information they found out, it was as a gas of some illegal storage of fuel, which we have been saying no to it, because the effects of keeping fuel at home is very, very dangerous. And most of us don't keep to safety measures. That's the cause of the fire then.
Okay, so since then, how many of such fires have you combated?
If I'm not mistaken, that fire was around September.
This year?
Yeah, this year. So from our statistical record, I think in the month of September, we are able to put up to, I think we fought almost 10, 11 fires from our record. And October, we fought almost 9 fires. And now we are in November. November, we are still in November anyway. But I think from my record, we fought almost 5 to 6 fires now.
All right, so what are the challenges you face when you have to fight a fire?
Yes, thank you for asking me that question. You see, most, fire is an emergency. And response times matters a lot. Most challenges we face in the attending to fire is the road network. The motorists don't comply when we are on the road.
They don't understand that it's an emergency.
Yes.
You don't have the sirens.
We have siren.
Okay, what you don't have is policemen flogging people.
Yes. But we are supposed to know that when we are on the road, anytime you see an emergency vehicle coming,
ooh,
a fire appliance, fire truck coming with siren, you should know that vehicle is going to attend to an emergency. Why not give way? Delay is very important. It's very, very, very dangerous in attending to emergency. So some of them will park on the road. Some of them will not clear way for you. By so doing, they are delaying your response time.
And also the matter of very narrow roads.
Exactly.
So, and we have people parking on the roads. There's no parking space. So some on the roads, some don't even care, you know, that it's
honestly
an emergency.
It's affecting our response time.
What about the people when you get to those venues, you know, locations?
Yes, another thing is that some of the people, like the passerbys and the people around, they don't understand why we came late. Some of them will not call us immediately. They will think they can fight the fire themselves. By so doing, they are taking time. And when they got to know that they cannot fight this fire, they will call us. By the time they call us, that was when we start going to... Yes! So before we get there, we face these small challenges on the road again. By so doing, we delay. And when we got to the scene, they will start telling us we are coming late and all that, not knowing what the challenges we face before we got to the scene.
So, you are saying that in the first instance, once there's a fire, the first thing to do is to call the fire service.
Exactly.
They call the radio station and I tell them, we're not the fire service. Please call the fire service. And I have to read out the numbers. They have to post the numbers on social media and tell them, put it on speed dial in case there's a fire. It might not be you might not be the one affected directly, but, you know, somehow you need to just call the fire service.
Yeah.
Where is your office?
At the moment, our office is situated at the Federal Secretariat, Abba Road.
Oh, that's near the, almost adjacent the
to
the national, the hospital.
The hospital, the military hospital, and the presidential hotel.
Okay, so you're somewhere in between.
In between,
on the other side.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's the only location.
For now.
How many trucks do you have?
At the moment, we have two trucks and an ambulance.
Okay, two trucks and an ambulance can't do anything.
Life support,
let me not say too much. So what's going on with that?
Yeah, you know, federal government. And we are not the only firefighting organization, office in this state. We have state fire. We have other people that we all have worked to achieve the same aim.
Yeah, but basically, it's the Federal Fire Service and the River State Fire Service. Those are the government-owned fire service.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even at that, our office in Abuja have plans to give us more appliances. But before then, our Control General, Dr. Limane Brian, has promised us that with time he is going to give us more fire trucks. But before then, we want to make sure that the fire trucks get across all the states in Nigeria. So we're still expecting more trucks by God's grace.
So this matter of emergencies, especially fire, would you say that government is showing enough commitment? Because I don't get it, how we build buildings that cost hundreds of billions or hundreds of millions of naira, and we cannot set up a functional fire service. We have 23 local government areas. We're just talking Port Harcourt, right?
Yeah.
So what happens to the other local government areas when there's a fire? Does anyone call you?
Yes, you see, there was a time they called from, I've forgotten the name of the local government anyway, but I was made to understand that the local government is close to Abia, one of the neighboring states, and it is closer for firemen to attend to fire there. Because from our office to that place, it will take us more than 2 hours. And fire in 2 hours, before we got there, the place would have been raised down. So I see no reason why we should travel for 2 hours before we get to fire scene.
Okay, so we're seeing here something from August 2021. Governor Yusuf Wike has pledged 5 million naira monthly to the Federal Fire Service for the maintenance of the firefighting trucks. This is for just these two trucks. Hold on. He made the promise during the commissioning of one modern firefighting truck, a basic life support ambulance, and one water tanker on Thursday in Port Harcourt. Who made these donations? Were you here then?
Yeah, I was here then.
Who made the donations?
He's a pledge, state governor.
No, during the commissioning. The commissioning,
exactly,
I mean.
Yes, during the commissioning of the appliance.
So who made, the federal government made these available?
It's the state governor that made the...
The one fire service truck, one firefighting truck.
Is it the trucks?
Yes.
No, it's the federal government.
Okay, that was when, I think, Rao Farigbeshola came, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Was it the one that came
no,
at
he
that
sent
time?
A representative.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was then. So he said he would give 5 million monthly.
Exactly.
And not to be shared among yourselves, used for vehicle maintenance.
Maintenance and logistics.
Yeah, so how has that been coming?
Yeah, federal government, government things, government policy. There are a lot of process before you bring out money from the government. So we have been following it up and we are on it.
That's the fire civil service. The state civil service, we're not going to talk about that today because, I've had my own experiences. Sometimes you call, they say the truck is stuck somewhere or they're already fighting some fire somewhere. And, we are aware, and then people get angry and then, a lot of things go wrong. What are people supposed to do when there's a fire? You said the first thing to do is to call the fire service.
Exactly.
But people are not even aware that there's a federal fire service which seem to be doing some work, unlike the other one. So what are your numbers?
Yeah, at the moment, we have two emergency numbers.
We still don't have three-digit emergency numbers.
Three-digit?
Yeah, like 911.
When you call 911, you to still go to either road safety or federal fire service. And when you tell them the problem, they will call the people consigned.
So it's okay to call 112, is it?
Yes.
So you're saying that if I'm in River State and there's a fire, it's okay to call 112?
If you call 112, Rosefty will pick.
Okay.
Okay. I will tell them that there's a fire. They will know that it's not their schedule. They will call fire service.
So, but what are your direct numbers?
We have a 080-080-69-69-250-250-435. That's one. The second one, we have a 090-090-88-88-755-755-743-743. Yeah.
All right.
So, our two emergency numbers.
So, when they call them, what questions do they normally ask?
This is Federal Fire Service. How may I help you?
Okay, so the person will provide what information at that time?
Yeah.
Because the person might be under pressure and confused. So what information do they need to have?
There's a fire in so-so place. They will mention the address. The commission people that are receiving the call, they will make sure that they get the correct address. Immediately they call the information, they turn out the men on duty immediately. And our people are always at alert because that is our major duty. We don't have any other thing than the fighting fire. All the time, we are ready.
All right.
Once any call coming that there's an emergency, immediately, what they need to do just to get the correct address, because most of the times, they will give us address, we will get there, we will not trace any, there won't be any trace of fire.
So there has to be proper
address.
Okay.
Yeah.
0817, let's see what the people have to say. The question really to the people is what do you think about the response of fire service? But first thing first, there's one for the state government. This is for the Federal Fire Service. I've seen two trucks before. They're new trucks. They're pretty, I've seen them. I saw them on a Sunday about a month and a half ago around Orazi, and I was wondering what was going on. I've never seen that kind of thing before in Nigeria. So I reckon that those are your trucks because they're new. We've seen the other ones and we can tell the difference. So I think that's one way to tell the difference. 0817-923-0002. We'll talk about the fire side of things, but not today. We're talking about the fire service. 0817-923-0003. We're Nigerian. Good morning. Hello, good morning. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. My name is Onyogu Samuel. I'm calling you from Port Harcourt.
We're listening.
For the fire service people, I think we also commend them for responding in most of these cases, despite the challenges they encounter. However, we need to establish fire service in every local government and in Port Harcourt, more strategic places. Imagine moving from Rumola maybe to Chuba to Cut Fire and all of that. That would take a lot of time, and before you get there, things have spoiled more than it should have been. So let's establish more fire services in the state, and every local government should have at least two fire service stations. It's not difficult. Government can achieve it.
All right.
And the private sectors can also venture into that. Imagine that a bank yesterday was caught with fire, and imagine the disaster. So that's my take this morning. Have a nice day.
All right. I know that Obiakpa local government at some point commissioned some fire trucks, service trucks, but there was a fire around there, and what we heard was that the person who was supposed to be on duty was not there, or some funny thing like that. And we haven't heard anything else since then. Are the trucks there? That's one question. Who's manning the trucks? Are they adequately trained? Are they being paid? Are they adequately equipped? Those are answers that are begging for more answers. Good morning.
Good morning.
Questions,
good morning.
Rather. Yeah, let's hear you.
My name is Vincent, calling from Port Harcourt. In the matter that you are discussing, yesterday, while that fire was on, I called up number 112. It was not connecting at all.
Wow.
Yes, I did. When that fire started, I was busy calling that 112, but it was not connected at all. So I'm in issue. The guest also, if that line is on, he was giving us 112. That number is already emergency number right from time, but for now, that number is not connecting at all.
All right.
So in the aspect of fire service, please, we need enough fire service station in River State, enough, so we can fight this fire.
All right, that's for the River State government. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And I want to thank this federal fire service. There was a time at the road, fire was burning there.
And I call this, it's not up to 5 minutes, the idea.
Where?
To say government to please support these people and let them build all these fire services on all local government. If I ask, is maybe burning in my community, how will I go in to call them? No way. So they should build in every local government to help. Thank you very much. God bless you. Hmm.
Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Eno.
Morning, sir.
Okay, my name is David West. Yes, I want to say that you people in Port Harcourt are even lucky for the federal fire service to have two trucks and an ambulance. When the people here in Yenagoa, they just have one fire truck in a very small space without an ambulance. So you people are very, very fortunate. Now, having said that, I think they need to expand their operations and their equipment. Because even the federal secretariat for me is not spacious enough or to be called in federal fire service point.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
Any firefighting office or point is of its own. It's not an attachment. Not just the truck we see. There are other things that are attached to it. So, Mr. Fireman, take this to the Honorable Minister for Interior, that the Federal Fire Service should have a place of its own.
All right.
I'm in Yenagoa.
All right, thank you. I'm looking at the document here, and it's a national, in fact, disaster. That's the word to use. A national disaster, not having enough fire service departments across the country. This was sometime in 2019, around this time, 2019, during the Federal Executive Council meeting, where the president was explaining why he created the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs and Disaster Management from Onitsha. There was a fire at that time. Onitsha, Anambra State, Asaba, Delta State, even in Oka, another fire. Talk about staff strengths, talk about okay, there was another fire to Jimeta Shopping Complex. Wow. So the setting up of a fire service station, does it have to have a certain kind of space? Is there a dimension it must have?
Yes, setting up a fire station, one, they need a space and they need a kind of canopy where the fire truck will park under. Because this sun and rain affect the paint of the vehicles. Okay. With time, it will look faded. Uh-huh. So by time, if we are building it, there's a way they build fire stations.
Yeah.
So where you have the truck port and the communication room by the side, and you have a convenience where the personnel can make use of. So the communication room is always very close to the trucks.
Mm.
If there's any emergency call, immediately they will turn out the trucks immediately. And there's a space, a kind of a big room where the firemen will stay. Maybe there will be a screen for them while waiting for an emergency call. They'll be there relaxing. So that is how it's supposed to be built. Not where we are staying under the sun and rain.
Okay, let's have some questions. This one says, a comment on Facebook, an efficient fire service system is not something Onwuike is concerned about. You have your jump overs everywhere. What else you guys want? The survival game, Relish sent that in. Amen. Arasowa says, the survival game, the hard way, the only way. Okay, then the other comment about bullfire. So we take some calls. We're now adjourned for good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning. Yes. Hello. My name is David, calling from Transamadi.
Okay, David.
Yeah, so I have two concerns I want to put out to the fireman there.
Mm.
Now, for example, I work offshore, and I work with the emergency response team offshore.
Mm.
So do they allow volunteers, like someone like me, I like to volunteer whenever I'm on time off, to be with them and work with them for free, not to get anything, but just a passion of what I like to do. That's an amazing part. Then number two, because we know we are in a country where communication is an issue, and you don't have this 1-2-2-9-1-1 thing. We all have a phone, and we can do speed dials on our phone.
Mm-hmm.
So, like the number he gave out today, and I've saved it, and I put speed dial on number 6.
Mm.
So, if I need to call them, I just press and hold down my 6.
Yeah,
I know that's for fire, and it's going to dial their number. So, we could also sensitize people to do that. Even for security police, I know police, on my phone is 4. So if I dial 4, it takes me to the control room of police if I have any issues around and I need to report that. So that's just my contribution. I also like to know if they allow volunteers. I can come in and volunteer anytime on time off.
All right.
If you just come around. I have colleagues too in Port Harcourt that like to volunteer for such.
All right, thank you. Sir?
Yeah. Volunteer. You can volunteer, but fighting fire is a professional job. Because when you are in the positioned, there's a way you position yourself to handle the hose. Once the water is discharged, the hose will be fully charged. If you are not properly positioned, it can fling you, which is very dangerous. So we are not saying that volunteers should not assist, but we are professionals. You have experience. So if you allow anybody to come and be handling the hose, one, you cannot do what is expected
of
them.
I'm sure there are other ways they can volunteer.
We are not saying they are not, you know, like the one we fought on Saturday, there are a lot of people who assisted.
No, he's saying coming with you or from your end, not from the other side.
It's welcome.
But we're wrapping this up at this time. What message do you have for Rivers people at this point? Because we're entering, I don't know, the rain still keeps falling, but we're entering the dry season.
Yeah,
so your message to them?
Yeah, my message to Rivers State people is that this area of obstruction of fire trucks, that is the major problem, because it's really affecting our response time. Please, anytime they see a fire appliance coming to or going to attend to an emergency, they should please give us right of way. It's very important. Is very, very important.
All right, so
thank you.
Also tell the Ogas in Abuja that we need fire service trucks.
Yeah, that is the process.
The two cannot suffice.
No, I know.
The two cannot suffice.
Yes.
Thank you, sir, for your time.
Thank you very much.
DCP
I appreciate
it. DCP Abdullahi Alpha, right?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. DCF, all right. Okay, this is where we draw the curtain. The document in The Guardian looks very bleak. Talking about the State Fire Service says they ought to have at least 10 functional firefighting trucks with 9 to 10 substations across the state due to the vastness of Rivers State. But there's no functional fire service substation in Rivers State. The existing ones in Borikiri, Rumodumaya and Ahoda lack functional equipment and manpower, and they're presently not operational. Don't forget, there was a protest, I think, 2 years ago. That was 2017, yeah. And they said, according to The Guardian, November 2, 2019, a visit to the State Fire Service headquarters located behind Isaac Buru Park, Port Harcourt, showed that obsolete equipment, lack of effective communication gadgets, shortage of water supply, and a very deplorable environment bedeviled this service. Will we have another fire? Yes. Will we be ready to fight the fire? That is a question that remains to be answered. My name is Enoa Gweviri. Good morning.